Hello, and welcome to the Homeschooling and Loving It podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, your friend at homeschool.com and homeschool mom of six. Join us as we keep it real and chat about the ups and downs of this amazing adventure we call the homeschool life. So grab a cup of your warm favorite and a comfy chair and let's get started. And welcome back to homeschool.com's Homeschooling and Loving It podcast. Today we have a very special episode for you. This past week I was invited to join a group of panelists with National School Choice Week. And we had a great time talking about homeschooling, giving recommendations and encouragement for homeschooling families. So be sure to listen in and enjoy this week's episode.
Good afternoon, and thank you everyone for joining. We're super excited to co-host this panel with Time for Learning and National School Choice Week. The school choice movement has been gaining momentum for over 30 years. And today, non-traditional environments like homeschooling have become one of the fastest growing forms of education. This trend underscores parents' strong desire to find schools that best meet the needs of their children. All 50 states allow for homeschooling, and the parents on the panel today represent a range of diverse homeschooling stories and are excited to share their journey and give advice on how to get started. I'm joined by Crystal Banks with her 8-year-old son Cash, shares her experience as both a homeschooler and a parent to a gifted learner on her social media platform at Mama's Sweet Baby. Crystal created the platform 5 years ago on Instagram as a way to share her unique point of view as a parent of a child and was doing things beyond his years with family and friends. Today, her platform provides support to any parent interested in learning at home because the parent is the child's first and most important teacher. We're also joined by Janet Sedano. She has homeschooled her three of her 5 children. She has homeschooled them from pre-K through graduation. She is still homeschooling her daughter who has Down syndrome. Janet enjoys helping parents get started with homeschooling, especially families who have a child with special needs. Jamie Gaddy, Doctor of Education, is Editor-in-Chief at homeschool.com. Education has been an integral part of her life for over 25 years, in both as a classroom teacher and principal, and as a homeschool parent. Jamie has homeschooled her 6 children for over 16 years and takes great joy in helping new homeschooling parents get started. Lastly, we are joined by Tiffany Hollingsworth. She is a 33-year-old mom of 3 wild boys. She has worked for Time for Learning for about 3 years and has been homeschooling all 3 of her boys using Time for Learning for 4 years. When they aren't learning, they're exploring. They love to hike and take care of their 36 chickens and 4 ducks. Mother adult movement in the best ways. Okay, so we have met all of our wonderful panelists, and I'm going to jump right into the questions. So the first question I'm going to direct at everyone. Tell us about your homeschooling journey. Why did you choose homeschooling for your child? Crystal?
Well, actually, I have 3 sons total. My 2 oldest sons are both airmen in the Air Force. And the thing is, they were great public school kids. But the little one came along, and we noticed very early that he was kind of different. We were getting ready to enroll him in pre-K, and they tested him. And that testing led to a gifted diagnosis. We still put him in pre-K, but once he was there, we had the stereotypical, he's bored. He'd been reading since he was 2 years old, and they were doing a letter a week. And luckily for us, COVID hit. We were already about to move out of the school system and take it home. But that prompted us to go ahead and home educate him. And he's 8 now. We're doing great. We love it.
That's amazing. Janet?
I started homeschooling when my 5-year-old, I had 2 teenagers in school already in middle school, and my 5-year-old started kindergarten, but she did not take well to school and was crying a lot. It was really difficult for her and for me, of course. And I had a friend who was homeschooling, and her kids were they just interacted so well with adults, and I was so impressed with their family, and she suggested I try it. So I was too scared to pull my older ones out, but I did start with my little one, And then my twins, I started with my son. Now my daughter, because she had Down syndrome, I was kind of nervous about homeschooling her. So I sent her into school. And she was in school for about a year, but it was not going well at all. So I pulled her out and I started homeschooling her, and she just flourished at home. So that's how I started homeschooling my three youngest ones. My older ones did go through high school and graduated from a public school, but my younger ones graduated from homeschool.
That's great, and kind of gives you perspective on both.
Yes.
Jamie?
Yeah, so our homeschool journey was quite the ride. We have six children, and we've homeschooled almost all of them from the beginning, and except for our oldest. And we started homeschooling because she was being bullied. She went to a private school. Actually, I was the administrator, the principal at the time, which is very frustrating, but we couldn't catch the bully to document it and to take care of it, discipline it, you know, all that good stuff. So we just said, okay, fine, we'll just take our daughter out. And we started homeschooling with her, and we loved it so much, we just started with the rest of them, and we haven't looked back.
Great. And Tiffany?
So I started with my oldest boy, who's now 11. So he is in fourth grade now. And when he was in preschool, he fell and broke his arm. And much to our surprise, it was actually a bone mass in his bone. And they thought he had cancer. And so he missed a lot of school already. There was a lot of testing and all sorts of things going on. And so that was kind of pushed us out of the school system. But we just didn't stop. We just kept going. And then my little two came along, and it's worked so well. My middle one has ADHD, and he learns the best at home anyway. So I'm just like, we'll just keep going with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's working.
Yep.
Okay. So our next question will be for Crystal and Jamie. What challenges did you face when you started, and how did you overcome them? Crystal?
Now, my biggest challenges really weren't challenges. We live in Alabama. We're very much a homeschool-friendly state. And the biggest thing was information. Luckily, there is a great homeschool community, not just in Alabama, but worldwide, where you can get information. We've got the internet. Vendors are always very welcoming. There's a lot of good resources on shelves and libraries and bookstores. And not only that, as homeschool parents, a lot of us don't recognize we can engage in the same professional development that classroom teachers can. So I did a lot of professional development to go along with it, because my background is not in education. My background is in fine art. So I had to learn to understand the world of education a little bit more in order to help my son flourish as a homeschooler.
Yeah, that's a great point also about using those resources. Jamie?
Sure. So since I was a previous classroom teacher and principal, my mentality was I've got to have a miniature little classroom at home, and, you know, all the kids neatly sitting at their desks with the chalkboard, you know. Needless to say, with two of my kids as toddlers, well, under three, that just wasn't working. And so that was the biggest challenge that I faced at first, was just finding my groove, finding what worked. And once I realized that flexibility was part of the whole homeschool thing, we changed up some things. We started using an online curriculum. Actually, it was Time for Learning. And we created a really flexible schedule that really helped all of us feel more comfortable with this learning at home thing, and everybody was much happier.
That's great, and it just kind of shows whether or not you come from an educational background or you don't, there's challenges with both and trying to kind of unlearn that. All right, so Tiffany, how do you structure your homeschool day or week?
So we kind of freeball it. we like to, my kids work best after they've gotten their sillies out for the day. So we don't usually start until I'm done with work for the day. So usually after dinner, and it works so well because I just feel like everybody's kind of got their bellies full. They've had a full day of doing whatever they've been adventuring, and we can just kind of relax at the table. And I just kind of go around and help them all with whatever questions they have. And it just works really, really well for us. And usually I tell them if we finish all of our work that we've assigned for the week early, then we don't do school on Fridays. And so that's kind of our motivation to stay on track during the week.
Yeah, that's really great. I love getting the sillies out.
Yeah,
of course.
It's needed.
Okay, and Crystal, how do you handle socialization and extracurricular activities for your child?
So one of the biggest myths in homeschooling is everyone yells, they're not socialized. How are they going to get socialization? Well, those of us at homeschool know the truth of the matter is most school kids, most public, private, et cetera, classroom children are told to sit still, stay in your desk, be quiet. And there's not really a big social aspect until maybe lunch or recess. Homeschoolers get together to do all sorts of things. We've got co-ops, we've got library classes, we've got actually in my area specialized classes just for homeschoolers in the museums, at our botanical gardens. There's so many ways they get together. And they also get together with kids of different age groups as well as adults. Also, one of my favorite things to do with my son is we volunteer at one of the local food banks, and he really gets to see things from a different perspective. I feel like I'm raising a global citizen that sees the world long before most of us did at coming out of high school.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is kind of one of the misconceptions we hear, that they don't get out as much or do as much, but it's crazy what you guys can accomplish. And like you said, the botanical gardens and things that they wouldn't necessarily experience all the time. Okay, and the next question will be for Tiffany and Jamie. Oh, how do you tailor your teaching message Oh, I'm so sorry. I skipped a question. This next question will be for Jamie and Crystal. Have you encountered any misconceptions about homeschooling, and how do you address them? Jamie?
So I think Crystal really touched on one of the biggest misconceptions in her last answer. That, to me, I think that's the largest misconception. Of course, there are several others that go along with it, but socialization would be the top one. Another one we get is that homeschoolers just don't hit the same level of education that in-school children do. And that is so far from the truth, simply because homeschoolers have more freedom, more flexibility to dig deep on topics that really hit their interest on certain areas. Maybe they're struggling in a certain area. We have that freedom of time where we can just drill down on that and help them gain that mastery that they need in those specific areas. So I feel like homeschoolers have the advantage in that area, not the disadvantage. And then the final misconception I wanted to share was that I have heard so many times that people thought homeschoolers were weird. And I know that's kind of, you know, maybe not something we should say on here, but it's true. And my brother-in-law was guilty of that, and he's not going to care that I mentioned this, but he used to say that all the time. Oh, I'm never going to homeschool. I'm never going to homeschool. Homeschoolers are just weird. They're nerds. And then he started seeing my kids grow up, and he was like, hey, they're pretty cool. And guess what, guys? He's a homeschool dad now.
I agree with Jamie. We are some of the best examples out there, especially now. One of the misconceptions I initially had going into homeschooling is that I didn't think I would find as much community as I did. You have that stereotypical, you're expecting ultra-conservative religious, you're expecting even curriculum to also be ultra-conservative religious. But then once you actually get into the homeschool world, you find secular resources. You find people of all ranges, socioeconomic backgrounds, everything. Just demographics are actually way out there and wild. The biggest thing we have in common is that we're really big advocates for our children. And I think that's the tie that binds. No matter what type of homeschooling you engage in, we're going to be the loudest voices and the biggest cheerleaders for our kids.
Yeah.
Okay, this next question will be for Tiffany and Jamie. How do you tailor your teaching methods to suit your child's learning style?
So my middle one especially, he has ADHD. I'm pretty sure. We haven't actually had him tested because we can manage it at home, but he's got all the classic symptoms, and he works best with a million breaks. So it takes us a little bit longer to get through our homeschool day or evening, but that's just works what works best. You know, we'll do a lesson or two, and as soon as I notice that he's kind of checked out, he's got the goofies going on, I'm like, okay, go take a break, come back when you're ready, and we'll just keep going. And that really helps. It's just made him feel heard and seen, I feel like, and that he's actually able to grasp material and he's not overwhelmed, and it just works really, really well for us.
Okay, and Jamie?
Sure. So my youngest daughter was diagnosed with dyslexia end of first grade, second grade. We began to see some issues. But I have to admit, before that, I was trying to fit her into the same mold as all my other kids and teach her the same way that I taught all of them. And I was frustrated. She was frustrated. There was no learning happening. She was not reading still in almost second grade. We finally realized what was going on and changed things up and accepted things for what they were, and I actually went through and made a completely different curriculum for her, unique to her strengths and weaknesses and all that good stuff. And the change was like night and day. She began learning, things turned around at an amazing rate, and she's actually a really good reader now. So that was one way that we did that. Of course, there's lots of stories, but you have the freedom to do that as a homeschooler, which is amazing.
Yeah, being able to tailor it directly to those situations is so helpful. Okay, and the next question will be for Crystal and Jamie. What role do technology and online resources play in your homeschooling approach?
So in my homeschool, we're big into tech. We're extremely into tech. One way in particular is because I have a gifted child, the tendency to lean towards STEM. So you're looking at a kid that's really already into engineering and the technology. We get him what he wants. He's spoiled. He's taking a computer technology class right now, and they're doing all sorts of coding. Just this past week, they were programming a world in VR. He's 8. I don't even understand what he's doing. But it's amazing to watch. And then we've got all sorts of neat things out there. You've got Lego has a great educational program with their Lego robotics. You've got CodeSpark, which is coding. You've got all these different people out here that are pushing STEM and tech and coding. And I love to see it. And it's so much fun that he's teaching me things that I have no clue what's going on. We also use a lot of apps. A lot of people are anti-screen time, but I'm pro screen time. I can't help it. I've seen him engage well with his tablet and learning apps, and there's no reason I would change that. It's good for us. I would hope other parents would use it. We're not going to be able to escape technology, so we might as well embrace it.
Yeah. And Jamie?
I would agree with Crystal. I mean, it's the same situation. I mean, I've been homeschooling for over 16 years, I guess. I think that's the number. Anyway, I can remember what it was like when I first started, and there were very few resources, and technology was just becoming something that was available to homeschoolers. And so fast forward to today, and I'm so grateful for technology and how it plays such a huge role in our homeschool day. I mean, without it,
yeah,
I can't imagine what we would do. We use it to study. We use it for our classes, whether they're, you know, asynchronous or synchronous. I mean, we can talk with a math class on the other side of the country, and, you know, that teacher can be helping my daughter with something. and then right after that, take a course that's been pre-recorded. So it's just it's so flexible. It's so amazing. And there's so many options that, if a new homeschooler is listening to this chat, I would encourage them, don't be afraid, because there is technology there that can help you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, and next will be for Janet and Tiffany. In what ways have you seen homeschooling positively impact your child's development?
Well, I'll start with my daughter with special needs, because it definitely has helped her flourish. Like I said before, she has developed so much better than I think she would have in school. With her reading, I think that if she had been in school, she wouldn't be reading like she is now. She is an avid reader. She can read at a high school level. She has quite a number of friends who have Down syndrome, and sadly, a lot of them don't know how to read. It's just not just failure on the part of schools or anything like that. It's just the extra time that our children need. Children with special needs just need that extra time, more attention, more one-on-one time. And that has really helped her, because she's using a curriculum that she's able to repeat lessons. And the repetitive of sometimes doing the same activity or the same lesson more than once with time for learning has really helped her to show progress. So the reading has been fabulous for her. With my other children, I think that just the ability to interact with different ages, different people. My children were in public speaking competitions, so we traveled for tournaments. Mm-hmm. I think that helped them quite a bit. We were part of a couple of homeschool support groups, and they were very active in that. They did yearbooks, so they didn't miss out on anything, because we even had yearbooks, and they helped put together the yearbook. So they had like a yearbook committee team, and they put yearbooks together. And my daughter volunteered at a hippotherapy ranch where they did, with special needs, they did horseback riding and physical therapy. She's very compassionate and is actually in college now. She just transferred to university and is studying physical therapy and psychology. So she's going into that area. My daughter with special needs, we volunteer at a homeless shelter once a week. So it just gives us more opportunity to grow in different areas, myself too, of course. And it just opens up the world to us. So that's how it's helped us.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Tiffany?
My little guy, my middle child with what we think is ADHD, he has blossomed. So he used to be very frustrated with anything related to school. It was really a struggle. We actually tried workbook curriculum, and that absolutely didn't work for him. He just was so frustrated. He just felt really discouraged. And so we tried time for learning, and we started him at the preschool level at 6, because I need to start pretty much at the basics with him. And he flourished. Within a year, he was reading, and he just soared through the kindergarten with time for learning. And so I was kind of like suspecting that he was even more ahead of that. And I had him tested, and he tested into third grade and had never done anything but time for learning and workbook curriculum before that. And I'm so, so thankful that we found something that gave him like that strength and that courage to just do it at his own pace and what works, and to just see him just blossom. So he's now 8 and in the third grade with time for learning, and he just loves it. We're doing so good. And it's touching to me to think that he struggled to just do the basics, and now 2 years later, he's advanced. It's amazing. Once you find that sweet spot with your kids, like, everything changes. It's so nice.
Yeah. I know. And next, Crystal, how do you balance the role of parent and teacher in the homeschooling environment? And how does this change with working from home?
So I had to do things a little differently. And my husband and I had to come to a consensus here. We had to decide if this is what we were going to do, there were going to be sacrifices to be made. So the sacrifice was I quit working, and he supports us fully. But the compromise there was I told him, I said, look, I'm going to figure out a way, and this is through blogging and writing and all other sorts of things. I was going to figure out a way to pay for our homeschool. So that was my only goal. I'm going to make sure I cover all of our homeschool costs, even though the older Cash gets, the more expensive homeschool is becoming with us because he likes so many things that are expensive. Mm-hmm. But it was a weird balance there. You're the parent, but then you're also the teacher. But those roles merge into each other completely. So from the time he gets up, he's got the same mom. I never change. It's just sometimes I'm asking deeper questions. I'm pushing him a little bit more. I'm wondering where his head is. I'm checking his social emotional. And we do this anyway. We do it without even thinking about it. So the role of teacher is just something we did even when they were little. We were the ones that taught them to walk, to talk. We got them, you know, trying new foods. We made sure they were okay if there was a boo-boo. And then I feel as if a lot of parents, when they hit a point of compulsory age for school, they feel as if they can't do it anymore. And I hear the frustration, especially with friends of mine that have kids that are in school. They're like, I just don't understand the new math. I just don't know what they're doing. I just don't understand. I talked to the teacher, but I don't get it. Why aren't you teaching my kid? And I'm still of the opinion of, you know what? I'm pro public school, but I'm also pro parent involvement. You never take away the fact that you were their first and most important teacher. And as long as you keep that in mind, they'll be fine. Those things will merge together. Parent, teacher, worker, all of these things are still possible and can be very cohesive in the end.
Yeah, and I saw everybody's head shaking along with you. So that is amazing and a really great way to look at it. Okay, and our last question, I will again direct for everybody. Can you share advice for parents considering or that are new to homeschooling? Crystal?
So my biggest one, if you're brand new to this, if you never thought about it, treat it as if it's a class for you. Do your research. You're going to go on. You're going to use all the resources out there. You've got tech. All of us do. If you're watching this live stream, you've got a computer. You've got Google. You've got Facebook. Join a few Facebook groups. Research a little bit of the white papers that are out there on homeschool research. School Choice, National School Choice Week, they've got a great website that actually has an entire section just on homeschooling, not just public and private and micro schooling and hybrid, et cetera. There's a spot for homeschooling too. You do your research first, then consider what's going on in your home. Will this be a good fit for your kids? Will this be a good fit for your spouse? You can even have naysayers on the outside sometimes. You'll have that mother-in-law or that grandparent that's like, I don't know about this. You have to be convicted that you understand what you're doing first and then jump in. I think you'll be surprised to know what it feels like just to be like, I'm free. I can do this. We're good. I've got my kids. They're with me. They're safe. They're happy. They're healthy. And now the world is open to them and I can let them learn whatever they want.
Janet?
Yeah, I would definitely start with research. I started years ago, like Jamie was saying, before technology. So I went to the library and checked out every single book in the library about homeschooling. I read so many books about it before I started. But now that we have technology, there is that research that you can do online. And I would also recommend joining homeschool groups in your area, get together with other families who are doing it and can guide you. I mean, homeschool families are so ready to help. I've never met a family that wasn't ready to help. And you can sit in on co-ops. Just get together with other families who homeschool. Also, I would research online and just Google homeschool your state. So I live in Florida, so Florida Homeschool Association. There's at least one association in your state that you can get connected with. And just about every association, every state has homeschool conferences that you can attend, and you can really get a lot of information there. And then when it comes to curriculum, it's going to take some time to just find the right thing for your child. Some children do better with workbooks. Some kids do better with online. I tried workbooks with my daughter with special needs, and I was constantly making copies of worksheets for her. So definitely for us, the online curriculum works better. And you can work. You can work part-time. I work, and we take Fridays off. Fridays, we review everything that she's done independently throughout the week. Fridays, when my older kids were still being homeschooled, we used Fridays for PE. So every homeschool family has a different schedule, and you just will find your own schedule, what works best for your family. And forget about the naysayers, because there will always be naysayers, because they don't know about homeschooling. They haven't done the research that you have. They haven't experienced it. So, of course, they're going to think backward thoughts about homeschooling. Don't listen to them. You just go forward and do what you think is best for your family. And again, do your research. That's it. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
Jamie?
I think both these ladies have brought up pretty much what I would say. But in addition to that, I would just encourage new homeschool mamas and daddies to just relax. Just take a deep breath. If we can do it, you can do it. It's not as hard as you may perceive it to be at the beginning. And then once you take that step and you just dive in, you'll love it. It's so enjoyable. It is freeing, and you get to be a part of your child's life all day long. And I feel like that's the biggest blessing.
Yeah. And Tiffany?
I love what Jamie said a lot. So I'm kind of the one who I stray away from the research everything aspect, just because I got super overwhelmed with all the information. And so what was best for me is just to turn off all the noise of what everybody else is doing and just settle into what works best for my family. And that's really hard, because there's so much out there that, oh, you need to have a structure, you should be doing this at this time, this way. And it's really hard to fall into that trap of feeling like you have to be doing it a certain way. And there really is no right way. It's whatever works for your family. If it works best to do your homeschooling in the middle of the night in your pajamas, then do it in the middle of the night in your pajamas. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And so just letting go of that pressure is so huge. And there's no wrong way to homeschool. And so, you know, just relax, like Jamie said, and just enjoy being with your children, and it will all come together.
Yes. Well, that is amazing advice from everybody. Yes, Crystal.
You actually made a good point, Tiffany. I was like, you know what? People don't realize we don't always get up at 6 o'clock in the morning with our kids. We're getting up at like 8, maybe starting class at 10. We're in PJs. We have the most laid back lives, and I believe we've got to be some of the happiest parents around because of it. We decide, today's the day that I'm really not feeling it. Guess what? We don't do school. Or on the opposite end, it's Saturday or Sunday, and my kid's on a roll and is following a rabbit trail of the line, The Witch of the Wardrobe. It could easily be 11 o'clock and we're still reading or talking about what, you know, C.S. Lewis was thinking. So the freedom there is amazing. So, yeah, think about it. Imagine a job where you get to stay in your pajamas all day if you want. Just putting that out there.
It is amazing. And I had thought the same thing when Tiffany initially, when you said you guys homeschool at dinner time, and like how that is so different than what typical people probably perceive the normal school day to look like, but it works best for your family. It's just so interesting. Okay, well, thank all you ladies so much. We're going to open the questions now to those out there in the audience. And so I'm going to start with this one for Crystal and Jamie. In what ways do you promote a sense of community and provide support to other homeschooling families?
So my biggest thing was I blog. You can find me on at pretty much any platform, but definitely Instagram at Mama Sweet Baby. I like to show people that I'm real, and I show things that we do on a daily basis. And it's amazing the messages I'll get from other parents that are like, you know what, my kid reminds me so much of your kid. How did you start with him? And then these questions just naturally come up, and I enjoy answering them. There's rarely a homeschool parent out there that will not help. They are really advocates for their kids, and we don't just want our kids to be happy. We know that our kids live in society. We really want all the kids to be well-educated and happy. So if you want community, just find it. You're going to find any homeschooler out here are going to be your biggest cheerleaders in the background. And hey, I'm telling you, feel free. Follow Mama Sweet Baby. You have any questions, ask me a question. I'm a real person. I will answer it, even if it is at like 2 a.m, but I'll get to it.
So, yes, I actually am editor-in-chief at homeschool.com. And, you know, that's probably one of the first things that comes up in search results when you're searching about homeschooling. So there are an amazing wealth of resources there at homeschool.com, from articles, blogs written by myself, as well as the team of ladies that work with me who are all also mm-hmm. homeschool moms. And then we have guest contributors that are homeschool moms and dads. So I love that aspect. I love getting to hear from the dads as well. But we also contribute a massive amount of free resources that are just super helpful for homeschoolers, like unit studies and printables and worksheets. And in addition, this year we have just launched a marketplace, and it's basically a coupon platform for homeschoolers to get discounts on what they need to homeschool. So lots of great opportunities. And of course, we're on all the social media channels. So we have community that is there pretty much 24/7 ready to help homeschool parents.
Yeah. Does anyone else have anything to add to that? No? Okay. Next question for Tiffany and Janet. Is the Time for Learning curriculum enough, or do you supplement?
I'm going to say that Time for Learning is a comprehensive curriculum. It definitely can be enough, but I've always been an eclectic homeschooler, and I've always used different resources. We go once a week to the park with a group of homeschoolers and somebody that works there in the park, and we do science. So we do science for about 2 or 3 hours, and there's kids of different ages. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we do science. And then with Jamie mentioned unit studies with my older ones, I did unit studies. So we do other things. Oh, also my daughter with special needs for handwriting. So we do have workbooks for her to practice handwriting, and I buy some workbooks for reading comprehension. Time for Learning has plenty of lessons on reading comprehension, so we don't need it. But just to have her practice her writing and her spelling words, we add that to it. That's what we do.
Great. And Tiffany?
So the same as Janet, we use Time for Learning fully, but I do add a handwriting practice. So I use the Good and the Beautiful for the handwriting because they teach cursive, and I really, really love that. So you can get it all the way from pre-K all the way up through. It goes in levels, and they get kind of harder, and they just do a couple of pages a day. But I really like that, so we add that. But otherwise, we use Time for Learning for everything, and I don't feel like we need to supplement, but we absolutely could. And I also feel like life skills is a supplement in a way. So I always try to do, like, if I'm cooking dinner, I want somebody to be helping me learn that stuff. Laundry, chicken chores, I count that as a life skill. And so I feel like that can be a supplement too. But yeah, for the most part, Time for Learning does it all.
Crystal and Jamie, anything on curriculum or Time for Learning usage?
We are very much eclectic unschoolers. So we're going to use every and everything and nothing all at the same time. It sounds a little chaotic, but I felt like it worked best with my son. We'd use a lot of gifted curriculum, and there are things that are promoted specifically for gifted learners. We use a lot of things from Royal Fireworks Press. That's pretty much ELA. They do, Michael Clay Thomas is a big name with gifted learners, as far as kids that like to really go deep into writing and reading and studying literature. We use Beast Academy from Art of Problem Solving. It is definitely, I don't even try to do math with my son. That's how bad the math is. The art person in me looks at his math and walks away. That's how, and he's 8. And at this point, he's even done multiple nationwide competitions and placed first in the state of Alabama just doing math. And I'm like, I don't even understand what you're doing. But I get him the resources he needs. I still do my research. I still listen to groups. I'm a member of various gifted homeschool groups on Facebook. And we discuss things and we talk about it and what we use for our kids. And that's just two examples. This can go across the board. There's lots of options out there. Another favorite of mine is Hewitt Learning. They're out of Spokane, Washington. Their literature series is awesome, and they have a chemistry series for elementary school. I'm like, I didn't touch chemistry till high school. It is amazing what's out there. So yeah, just go get it. Go get it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to plug the last question for everyone. Can you provide any advice or perspective for parents navigating local laws and regulations? I'll start with Crystal.
I'm the easiest. I tell anyone, Alabama is the wild, wild west of homeschooling. We don't have any reporting requirements in our area. You can homeschool as a private school, so you do not need covers or umbrellas. Easy peasy, but this changes. Being a homeschooler in Alabama, talk to homeschoolers from all over, and depending on where you are, there are different guidelines and rules for your states, both for reporting, for curriculum, for testing, etc. However, you can legally homeschool in all 50 states, so it's just a matter of getting the information. It's not a matter that you can't do it. Just find out what you need to do. And some good friends of mine are in New York, and New York is one of the hardest schools to homeschool in. And they're like, it's not that bad. So.
Jamie?
Yeah, I think if you can just understand your local laws, and see, I said local because sometimes your local school district will be a little bit different than the state laws. And we've run into that. That's a point of confusion, obviously. But I would check with your local school district. And of course, if you're wanting to homeschool, you do have to make sure that depending on your state, now granted the wild, wild west in Alabama, maybe not. But even here in Georgia, where we're pretty free, we do have to declare that we're going to homeschool. So if I had children in a public school, I would have to do that and then pull them out. So there's some notification, but it's really doable. And once you know what's required of you and you complete it, you're good. It's just a process.
Yeah. Okay. Janet?
I'm just going to add to be careful regarding the homeschool laws and who's providing you the information, because sometimes the public schools do, the administrators there are really not familiar with homeschooling. They confuse it with online school, which is completely different than homeschooling. And sometimes they want to dissuade you from homeschooling. So they may be improperly informed or improperly informing you. I know that happened with me when I first started homeschooling my daughter with special needs. They didn't want me pulling her out. And I was fairly new to homeschooling. So there was a little bit of a struggle there, but I stuck to my guns and we homeschooled. So just be careful where you're getting that information from. Do the research and maybe even educate the schools, the public schools.
And Tiffany?
A great place to get some just reinforcement is the HSLDA. I recommend them a lot. They're a legal homeschool defense association, and you can get help for free. So you can just ask questions, but they will provide you with the best information in my experience of just the laws and the real laws, not biased laws that maybe the education system might have. So that's really helpful. And like everyone else said, just do your research and don't be afraid of what you're reading. A lot of times, you know, especially if you live in New York, that is one of the heavier states. It is still possible. Once you just get the ball rolling, it's a lot calmer. And it's just, don't let the fear of those laws scare you away. Just keep plugging and it gets easier as you go.
Yeah. I feel like this particular question can be one of the things that's most daunting about getting started. And I just wanted to add too that National School Choice Week has a state-by-state page that can be very helpful as well. You can go in, pick your individual state and see all the resources and what might be happening and available in your state. Okay. So for everyone, the next question. Do you have any advice for parents who don't think of themselves as teachers but still want to homeschool their children?
I'm going to jump in this one real quick. I'm not a teacher. Not a teacher. But I am my child's first teacher. And because I'm their first teacher, their most important teacher, their parent, I know that I can do it. It's a lot of it has to do with confidence and knowing that you're going to make the best decision for your child. No one's going to make a better decision for your child than you. It's not possible. It's just you are their advocate to the end. Whether they're 18 or 40, it doesn't matter. They're your kids. So you'll learn. You'll actually figure out a lot of stuff that you can do that you thought you couldn't. As soon as you make the commitment to, I want what's best for my child. And you'll be fine. That should be your motivator. Your kid is the one that actually gets you to not worry about the teacher label more so than the I am a parent teacher and always will be.
I just want to say that, like Crystal has said several times, we are our children's best advocate. And specifically with my daughter with special needs, when she was in school, we had to do IEPs. An individual educational plan. And those were the worst meetings. I hated those meetings because I'm trying to get my daughter everything she needs. And I know my daughter best. I may not be a teacher, but I know how she learns best. I know exactly what she needs. I know when to push her, when to not exasperate her. And it just works better to homeschool her. And just, you know, you're your child's advocate. And there's so many resources out there. For my high school, when my kids were in high school, I hired tutors, math tutors, and it was just another homeschool mom who was great at math. And she tutored my daughter. My daughter hated math, but once she started tutoring with this mom, she didn't love math, but she liked it a lot better than she did before. You just got to get somebody who loves that subject and, you know, has a passion for it. And it's infectious. So you may not be your child teacher, but you really are, because like Crystal said, you taught them how to walk. You taught them how to eat. You've taught them so much, so many other things. You can also teach them the things that they need to learn. And I've heard a lot of parents say, and even I thought at one time, am I going to be able to teach my child everything they need to know? We will never teach our children everything they need to know. Life is just a learning experience every day. We are all still learning every day. Even in school, they're not going to learn everything they need to know. But if you teach them how to read and how to love reading, you're fostering that desire to learn, and they will learn from whatever they read. So anybody can homeschool.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say one thing. I know I had mentioned earlier that I have a history, a background as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when it came to homeschooling, that got in my way to some degree, because I had all these preconceived ideas that it had to be this way, that they had to learn, you know, certain increments, and it's not that way at all. Every child is unique. Every child learns at a different time, on a different schedule, in different ways. So sometimes the teacher experience is just not, you know, what it's cracked up to be. Not for homeschooling anyway.
That's great. And Tiffany?
One thing I think that gets lost is, like, we have to remember we are their parents. We made them, and we really, really know what's best. And sometimes I feel like that gets lost a little bit if you're in the public school system or just in general. Like, it's hard to be a parent, and there's always, like, am I doing it right? There's that question in the back of your mind every day, but we have to remain confident in just being their parent, and that speaks volumes. We don't have to be their teacher. That's parent and teacher is one and the same. And so just remain confident in your abilities to be a mom first or a parent first. And that kind of takes over. You just go with the flow. You kind of know what they need. And just listen to yourself. Just kind of turn off the noise, I like to say, because everybody else doesn't really know what your child needs, but you do, absolutely. And sometimes it takes a morning to yourself to get grounded and just remember who you are and who you are to your child, your student. And once you remember that, it just kind of all clicks.
Yeah. And just having, like, the confidence to get started and just kind of go for it, I feel like, is the hardest part in starting anything. So, it's natural that it would be with homeschooling too. Okay, for everyone again, do your children have input into their learning experience, and how do you incorporate their interests? I'll go ahead and start with Crystal for this one. I know you talked a lot about STEM.
So my kid is pretty much decided if he doesn't want to learn it, he won't. So, and it's an interesting challenge there, because, for example, I mentioned chemistry. Well, you wouldn't naturally think of elementary school is when you start chemistry, but we sit down together. So curriculum, on average, I'll switch. We argue around homeschoolers, by the way. That's a big thing we didn't really talk about, is whether or not some of us, how often or how long we homeschool. So we're year-round homeschoolers. We go in the summer, we switch up for the summer and do more hot, heavy science. But overall, I still restart for the most part in fall. And I have my son sit down with me, because I know if he decides it's something he wants to do, he will just put himself in it to 100%. And we will sit there and look at curriculum and talk about subjects and books he wants to read. And he loves it to be an active member of his own education. And I like to see him excited about it. I get a planner in. I order a homeschool planner. I order him one, too. And he sits there with his planner on Sunday evenings, just like I do. We're filling out what we're doing for the week. And he loves it. So, yeah, if you involve your kids in their own learning, you'll see how much ownership they'll take because of it.
That's a great way to put that. Jamie?
I 100% agree. And that is something that we've tried to do with our kids. But one of the things that we do to do that is to take them all to a homeschool convention. And some people are like, but really, I think it had the greatest impact, especially on my few younger children, because they saw the multitudes of homeschoolers at these conventions, and it just really impacted them that, though most of the time, they have a few homeschool friends here and there, their little groups or whatever, but this was a huge amount of homeschoolers, and it just, like, it blew them away. It was exciting. They got to touch and feel and look at curriculum, and so, yeah, they would all be finding curriculum that they want to try and bring it to me. Come on, you got to look at this. We got to figure out, So it's an amazing way to do this and get them involved in what you're going to teach in the coming year.
Yeah. Janice?
I was also going to mention the conventions. I always took my kids with me, and they would go into the workshops with me as well and go from one curriculum table to another and check out everything to see what they would be interested in. And any special interests that they had, for example, with my daughter that I mentioned earlier, she loved horses. We couldn't afford a horse because we were a one-income family. So she volunteered and got time to ride horses. She got a special horse to herself when she was volunteering, and she learned how to care for horses. And she learned so much during those years when she was volunteering. And with my son, he was interested in the military. So we got him into Sea Cadets, and he found out a little bit more and ended up not joining the military. But yeah, there's more opportunities to explore their interests.
Yeah. Tiffany?
So I utilize OutSchool a lot because there's so many different opportunities. There's interests all over the place. And so I let my kids choose one class that they're interested in. And we can change it up. So when they're uninterested in that subject, or if they want a different class, we just choose a new one. So yeah, we really try to make sure that their interests are being met. I feel like that's one thing that's really great about homeschool, is if you have a kiddo who loves math or science, you can really focus on that. And that's really, really helpful.
Yeah, I agree. All right, the second to last question for everyone. Let's see. How do you handle time management? I'm going to go ahead and start with Crystal again.
So I'm the worst. I'll be the first. I think it's that unschooler in me. I figured out we were unschoolers because I didn't want to do anything according to the way people thought it should be done. Time management for us is we get to it when we get to it. It really is. And the worry there is that you'll never finish anything. You'll never progress. And that's one of the reasons we are year-round homeschoolers, is because we don't feel the urge to complete 180 days and however many hours. We can take our time, dive deep when we want, and if something's really not clicking, we can come back to it. There's nothing wrong with going back. I'd rather have my child master a subject or master an area than to just skim over it and later be like, what was that we learned? So schedules, no. We don't do them here.
And Jamie?
I would say the same thing. We don't really do schedules, but we have a routine. You know, we have a similar structure to our day, like when we homeschool and how, basically, but there's no time limits. At first, obviously, when I was making that little miniature classroom at home, I had a strict schedule and it made us all miserable. So that was one of my first lessons as well. Mm-hmm. I can't do the schedule, especially when you have little ones at home, because they wreck every schedule. You know, they have their own agenda. So yeah, no schedules. We just have a routine. And then that way, if we don't hit everything, we're not stressed or feel like a failure. But yeah, that works for us.
And Janet?
I am not good with time management, but I definitely want to teach my kids to be better than me. So we don't do every subject every day. Math and language arts are a priority, so we do need to do those every day. If we don't do science, if we do science once or twice a week, if we do social studies once or twice a week, that's fine. But math and language arts are important, especially for my daughter with special needs, because if she doesn't cover math every single day, she's forgotten what she did yesterday. Also, responsibilities are a priority. So they need to get their responsibilities done, their chores, before they can play on their games or watch TV or anything like that. So that's a given.
Yeah. And Tiffany?
So like Crystal, I'm very much an unschooler. We kind of wing it. Most of the time it's after dinner, but there are times, like last night I worked all day. We had a big dinner, so we didn't get finished until like 8:30, and none of us were ready to do school. And so we were like, okay, we'll just not do it. And that's the beauty of it. We also school year round. We'll take a little break in the summer, usually 2 or 3 weeks, but then we kind of pick it back up, and that gives us the freedom. I don't feel like I didn't beat myself up because we didn't do any school yesterday. I still feel like they probably learned something throughout the day anyway, a life skill or something. And so it's just important to remember that even life, it needs to be flexible. So that teaches them in itself that it's okay to not have so much high expectations, and things happen, and just to do what you can when you can.
Yeah. So I was going to say flexibility seems kind of the name of the game. Okay. And the last question for everyone, now that we are almost out of time, what is the best part of homeschooling? Crystal?
For me, it is watching my child grow. I love seeing him discover new things. I love it when he brings me a book and says, did you read this when you were a kid? Let's read it. It is a lot of fun. I like my kid. He's a cool guy. And I get to see it. I don't miss anything. He's not gone all day. He's with me. And we can sit there and discover these things together. And if we're not in the mood for school, we can kick around and watch cartoons. It's fine. I get my kid all the time, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Jamie?
I have to agree. I know I say that all the time, but I mean, it's truth. I think I mentioned it earlier. That is really one of the biggest blessings to me about homeschooling, is that I have my children here, and now I have the privilege of actually having my grandchild just about every day. And so we've started homeschooling. She's only two, so it's just, you know, a little bit. We match colors and things like that. But just having that opportunity to invest in their lives on a daily basis is it's worth everything.
Janet?
Yeah, I'm going to join in with the ladies, especially since I have grown children who've already moved out. I truly, truly treasure that time with my kids. I didn't homeschool my oldest son or my daughter, but my son is homeschooling his children now. They're little, but 7 and 6, but he's homeschooling them, and they're using Time for Learning, by the way. And just that special time. One thing I wanted to add to that is my oldest son, he was very active in school, but I never got to meet the other parents. You know, it was just, I mean, he was social and he was active, but my homeschooled kids were so social, even more than he was. And we became friends with the parents. So we were cohesive with other families. And our children grew up together. We're still friends. My kids have grown up and moved out, but I'm still friends with their parents, and they're still friends with the friends that they grew up with. So it's just a different way of life. It's homeschooling is just a way of life. It's just, you know, it's just the friendships that you make are just so special.
Mm-hmm. And Tiffany?
I agree with everything everybody said. It's such a beautiful experience. It's unique to everything, and there's bonding in almost every moment, and it's just so much fun. And when you watch your child maybe struggle on something, and then all of a sudden, you know, the light switches on for them and you were part of that moment, there is nothing greater than that. It's just like, wow, like we're doing it, and watching them grow and learn, and just, it's so much fun. You know, you can go to the park one day and that's your schedule, just bonding with your children, and you can't get those years back. And it's so rewarding. It's hard, you know, it's hard, but so much more rewarding than it is hard.
Well, it has been amazing hearing from all of you. I can't believe the hour has already just like flown right on by. But I just want to take a second to thank all of you as our panelists. Everything you said and contributed to the conversation is so helpful. And to everyone who was watching, you know, we just want to remind you to follow National School Choice Week and Time for Learning for more options on homeschooling.